And so I was asked to pray for us this morning, but I want to ask us all to pray together out loud and just try praying the Thai way. And I thought it would be really cool for, 150 voices to be raised in prayer together at the same time. So why don't we try it? And then I'll close at the end. Ready? Go! just prepare your hearts, and because we pray together with one person leading us in prayer, but as you come to worship God, as you hear, as you prepare your hearts to be with your brothers and sisters and gather and worship together, what do you have to say to God? What ask him to open your heart to him and to what he has to say to you today, and anything else you feel like praying for. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for bringing us all together, Lord. We thank you for the rain and for the cleansing of this earth, and we thank you for the opportunity to hear of your what you are doing in Thailand and what how you are moving each person here and each of the people who went on this trip, Lord. We pray that you would open our hearts and that you would help us to hear what you have to say to each one of us, and that as we listen, we pray that you would help us to hear what really what you have to say, and that you would help us to obey your call. Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world to yourself. We praise and bless you for those whom you have sent in the power of the Spirit to preach the gospel to all nations. And we thank you that in all parts of the earth, a community of love has been gathered together by their prayers and labors, and that in every place, your servants call upon your name. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. Amen.
Just admit my faith is paper thin. I'm feeling so burned out on religion. I say an empty prayer, I sing a tired song. I need to just admit that the passion's gone. And I wanna get it back. You told me, look for you and I will find. So I'm here, like I'm searching for the first time. Revive me, Jesus, make this cold heart start to move. Help me rediscover.
Today's scripture reading is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. It's chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walk among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far have you fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, it will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear that the Spirit says to the churches, to the ones who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, I preached a sermon on this subject, which is about 40 minutes long. But for the second service, I wanted to encourage our Thailand mission team members to give and share their testimony this morning, because I think it relates to the topic that we are trying to discuss today. So I'd like to encourage the people to come up. Could you please sit here and then go one by one? Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. Can I get all four of you to sit here?
Good morning, everyone. Today I'll be sharing about our Thailand missions trip, what we did, where I was spiritually before the trip, and how God worked through our missions trip to change the lives of the people in Thailand as well as my own life. For those who don't know, our team of 12 went to the city of Chachungsao, about an hour drive from Bangkok. There we worked with a local church, the Hope Center, where we taught English classes, Bible lessons, and led praise and worship. Going into the trip, I felt my faith was stagnant and plateauing. I was like how the Church of Ephesus was described, lost its first love. The passion and desire to know God, to love God, was gone. At church, I was merely going through the motions, doing what I was told to do, what I was expected to do. Although I experienced a mini spiritual renewal early in the summer after becoming involved in my university's Christian club, my faith quickly began to level out. One thing no one knows is that towards the end of the summer, I was strongly considering leaving this church. During the summer, I discovered a Christian community I lacked my entire life, and a Christian community is what stopped my spiritual nosedive that began when I started university. And I just felt that my spiritual needs were best met at places outside of this church. However, during the Thailand trip, I realized that the problem wasn't that my spiritual needs weren't being met. The problem was my mindset. When we were at a university in Thailand, I was talking with Pastor Charlie about my struggles, and he told me, if you have two options that are in line with the Bible, in line with what God wants, choose the harder option, because that's what Jesus would have done. What Pastor Charlie told me that day really spoke to me, and I knew I couldn't just take the easy way out. Choosing to leave the church for another church that met my spiritual needs wasn't wrong. But if I were to take the easy way out, I'd be relying on myself, on my own skills and abilities, staying within my comfort zone. That's the reason why it's easy. What makes the harder path hard is that I'd be forced to place my trust in God and rely on Him. Even though searching for greener pastures isn't wrong in this instance, relying on myself rather than God would inhibit my spiritual growth. Instead of leaving, I knew I had to stay and make myself available and trust that God will use me for His work. During our time in Thailand, we were able to visit a university and met with a Christian club there. We also went out in campus with people from the Christian club and openly shared the gospel to random students on campus, something I've never done before. Some students actually believed and prayed to commit their lives to Jesus after only about an hour of talking with us. So seeing firsthand the results of God's work and grace helped me realize the potential of university ministry. University is a battleground for Christians, and Christians are often completely unprepared and lose their faith because they're not expecting to be slammed by everything the world has to offer. I myself am in that position, fighting a losing battle. Had God not led me to join a Christian club, to a Christian community, I might not be standing here today. During the few days before school started, I prayed that God would provide me opportunities to serve Him, whether it's at church or at school. And on the first day of school, one of my friends I met through the Christian club asked me if I was interested in leading a small group. So for those of you at UBC, join my small group. Our kickoff is this Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. Another thing I learned in Thailand was how to love and be loved. During devotions one morning, the topic was love, and two different kinds of love were described. There was first love, God's perfect, holy, unconditional love, and second love, the uncertain, fragile, unstable love we see so often in our world. Nearly all the testimonies of Thai people had one thing in common. They came from broken families, whether it was a cheating spouse or a divorce or bad parents. They were also able to identify the problem and put it so simply. They were looking for love and validation. It was only when they received God's love that they were able to love the people around them. It's like the laws of conservation. You can't make something out of nothing or give away something you don't have. Only God can do that. Similarly, I learned that I need to be deeply rooted in God's first love in order to truly love the people around me. I want to end off today with a short Bible verse. It's only 4 words long, so I hope you guys can all memorize it. It's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Do everything in love. It's a verse I'm trying to apply every day, whether it's in teaching or learning or debating, just to have love behind my actions. At the end of the day, all of God's characteristics and actions are pervaded by love, and I think our goal is to mimic that to the best of our ability. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kylene. So before anything else, I just want to take this opportunity to thank you all for supporting us through your prayers, your encouragement, and your kind words during the time we were preparing for the trip and while we were there. It really meant a lot to our team. This is pretty hot. So here goes. To be honest, I went on this trip thinking that I needed more help than I thought I was able to give to others. I felt like I was at a pretty low point in my faith, and most people call it burnout. It's the kind of type that, when left unchecked, becomes apathy. So when my dad brought up the opportunity to be part of this trip, there's a lot of hesitation on my part. I felt like I'm far from being the model Christian. And I wondered to myself, what can I even bring to the table, or what am I going to be able to share with these people who we are supposed to be serving? So with the state of my relationship with God, I felt like I had no business going around trying to help bring people towards him. But I ended up attending one of the team meetings, of course, without committing at first, just to see what I might be getting myself into. And I left feeling quite intimidated by the amount of work, mostly because some of you may know Pastor Charlie is really hardcore. But then, for the first time in a long time, I also felt really excited about the prospect of being in God's service again. I took it as God extending his hand towards me and asking me to take the first tentative step back to him. So I committed myself to joining the team. In the months we spent preparing for this trip, I felt the apathy in my heart slowly changing into a spark of hope. Even still, as we arrived in Thailand and started building relationships with the local people, I had my moments of self-doubt, and that threatened to snuff out the spark. After praying together one day, the missionary that we worked closely with said to me these words, "God knows what you need, and he will meet you where you are." And I clung to those words during my time in Thailand. God knows what you need, and he will meet you where you are. It seemed like what I needed was to see what a small spark looked like when fanned by God's hands. And I saw that in the lives of the Thai Christians that we met. Sharing testimonies was part of our everyday agenda there. We heard the stories of how these Thai Christians came to faith. It was heartbreaking the amount of times we heard about how most of them grew up feeling unloved, in broken relationships and in broken families. When they came into adulthood, they searched and failed to find love in different places. But then many of them said that things changed for them when they met a Christian. So their stories would go something like, "This family member of ours became a Christian, and that's when we started to notice that something in them has changed. They had a better, more put-together life, so my parents sent me to live with them." Or, "I met this Christian friend at a school, and they would invite me to these weekday after-school events at a church or someone's birthday party." And then they would share how they hesitated to join the Christians at first, but that these Christians won them over by patiently showering them with genuine care and love. The kind they've been looking for all their lives. What stood out to me the most was how they said these Christians were different. That was the word they used over and over again, different. They were changed. God's love was overflowing and so evident in their lives and in their actions that they couldn't help but be drawn in. These Christians had an outward faith, an outward love. They extended their stories, their hands, their homes, their hearts outwards towards other people. They did it towards our team, and they did it towards me. They were different. Their spark, their light shone bright, and God was saying that he could do the same through my life as well. Even as I struggled with the guilt of pushing him away and feeling like I didn't really have much to bring to him. So my experience in Thailand reminded me of this verse that is both an encouragement and a challenge to me. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. I'm very grateful to God for the opportunity to be able to serve, learn from, and be spoken to through the Thai people that we met. And I continue to pray for the courage to grow my spark. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rebecca. And I'd just like to just briefly share my experience as well. This mission trip was my first trip with a group of people and with brothers and sisters from our church, and it's a first for our church as well. I had gone on a short-term mission trip by myself almost 25 years ago and was longing to go again, but work and other commitments had always prevented me from going, or I would find other reasons or excuses not to go. So in all honesty, I didn't think I was able to go to this year because I wasn't confident that this mission trip was going to take place, given that there were only 2 months left for planning and preparations. However, not even my own unbelief was going to get in the way of God accomplishing his plans. I could already see God's love and faithfulness at work before the trip even began, by the number of people who quickly and willingly responded to his call when this opportunity was presented to the congregation at the last minute. And also I could see by the diversity of the ages and the spiritual journeys and the motivations of the people that he had called to join this team. I was equally amazed at the tremendous support we received from you, our church family, before, during, and after this trip. We are filled with gratitude for all your prayers and for the many different ways that you have supported us along the way. But we know that it was ultimately God who could have orchestrated everything to come together to make this trip possible. Prior to this mission trip, our large team of 12 people did not really have much time to bond or get to know each other. And I was a little worried about how or if we would get along, even though Pastor Charlie was not, but I was, and if there was any hint of conflict or any disunity, what kind of example would that set for the Thai people that we were meeting? But as we started serving together, I was reminded, and we were all reminded each day, at the start of each day, through our group devotion time, that God commands us to simply love him and to love one another as he has loved us. Having this common goal set in our hearts each day compelled us to work in unity as one body and to want to use our different spiritual gifts to strengthen all parts of this body, no matter what we were called to do each day. So Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So whether it was organizing the lessons and activities that we used to teach at the local vocational college or elementary school or a group of rural kids, or whether it was interacting with people during social events at the local church or the university, or whether it was teaching English to students, even though we did not have any experience in doing so, whether it was presenting a drawing for an audience to take home and think about, or showing compassion in caring for the sick, the unloved, or even our own team members, or encouraging others through prayers and in leading worship, what I saw on this trip was that each one of us offered to God our own unique gift to serve one another and to the local Thai people. And God, in turn, used what we offered to him, our measly 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, to touch the hearts of the lost and to show them what his love looks like in action. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's John 15:4. So we were really blessed and humbled that God allowed us to see during these 2 weeks in Thailand the seeds that were being planted in people's hearts and the fruit that resulted from the gospel being shared and from the relationships that were formed. I am truly grateful that God allowed me this mission opportunity, not only to be away from the distractions of everyday life, but to be exposed to the reality of a harvest that is plentiful around the world, and to share God's love and good news to strangers, and to experience the richness of the spiritual lives of our Thai co-workers in Christ. It has given me more eagerness to join God in the work that he's doing, and to pray and support the church and its workers in Thailand and around the world. But upon returning home, I was also convicted of my own lack of love for the lost and for God's people here in my everyday life. Like many people who have gone on short-term missions, I found it easier somehow to share the gospel and share God's love to people I had no previous contact with. So it's my hope and prayer now that I'll be able to continue to be transformed by God's love and to be able to sustain that same love and fervor to serve him and others to the community and to my daily life here in Vancouver. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Clara. I'm the daughter of Jib and Eden, if you didn't already know. on one of our debrief days in Thailand, we had a group sharing with the first Step and Hope Center teams. Prior to the sharing, we were asked to reflect on our experiences and ask God for an image that summarized our thoughts and feelings. I received 2 images that day. The first image was a perfect circle, just a circle, nothing else. At first, I wondered why my image was so simple, but after some thought, I realized that my answer was as simple as my image. This circle represents the feeling of happiness and wholeness I felt when I was in Thailand. During the trip, like my other teammates, I noticed how the testimonies we heard from the Thai people revolved solely around love. The prevailing theme was a search for love that ended with God. God has filled these people with an abundance of love, and because of this, Thailand showed me what real happiness looks like. The Thai people have an overflowing amount of love to give, and in return, you can't help but be filled with the same kind of feelings. I have never smiled so genuinely or felt so inexplicably happy before. The time I spent in Thailand and the memories I made are some of the most unforgettable moments of my life. The second image was me in a bubble, but the bubble had just been popped. This explanation is a little more detailed than the last. My friends would describe me as a very type A person. I love organization and routine, and I despise spontaneity. My decisions in life have always been carefully calculated. I'm also an introvert, and I don't like to put myself in situations that I'm not comfortable with, especially when it comes to meeting new people. Not all of you know me well, but you're probably aware that I've never really been involved in church, which is probably why you haven't seen my face until today. I've always lived in the comfort of my bubble, never venturing out of the safe zone of my faith. This caused my faith to become complacent and start to plateau. However, this straight line was interrupted once I signed up to go to Thailand. Going to Thailand was the most spontaneous decision in my life to date. After anticipating a busy summer, God cleared my schedule and made me available. I decided to take a leap of faith and sign up, but I didn't fully grasp how much work actually goes into planning a missions trip. I didn't even know what I could bring to the team. Looking at my other team members made me question what kind of skills I had to offer. This was an insecurity I struggled to deal with before we left, the fear of being useless and not being able to contribute to the team. I had never put my full control in God before, but I had to keep reminding myself to be open to how God could use me. In Thailand, God allowed me to desert my safe zone. I was a part of the Thailand worship team, even though I'm not comfortable singing in front of everyone. I assisted the team in leading worship at the prayer night event, something that I could never have imagined myself doing. At the elementary and high schools, I would help teach and interact with the students, even though I've never taught before. At the university we visited, I would boldly sit beside students and start a conversation with them in Thai, as Pastor Charlie described it. I know about 5 basic phrases in Thai, so the conversations didn't always last very long, but I made it a point to go up to students and show them that I wanted to get to know them. Today marks another step outside my comfort zone because I'm here sharing my testimony. I told the Thailand team that I didn't mind sharing, but the truth is, God put it on my heart to talk about my experience. I've never been comfortable with public speaking, but I knew that I had to share how this trip has impacted my faith. So many times, I was pushed out of my comfort zone, and I took a lot of first steps during those 2 weeks. Opening up my heart and allowing God to guide me out of my safe zone resulted in me experiencing a perfect circle of genuine love and happiness. This trip also made me think about how I want my faith to develop in the future and where I want it to go. I want to continue to fuel this passion for God and grow in my faith. The trip made me question how I can continue to seek these feelings even when I return back to the comfort of my own home. This is why I've decided to join the church ministry as a Sunday school teacher for grade 11, as well as a leader for Kairos and FEC Up. I don't know why God called me to do this, and I don't know if I'll be a good leader or teacher, but it's up to me to take another leap of faith and continue to see how God will use me. Hebrews 11 verses 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." I'm certain of my devotion to God, although I may not know exactly what he wants me to do. Now that my safe bubble has been popped, I want to continue to explore what God has willed me to do. You can't unpop a bubble, so I'm confident that this is just the beginning of my faith transformation. Thank you.
So good morning again. As I mentioned to you earlier, I really, really wanted to give my time to these guys because I've heard all these stories, not just 4 of them, but there's 7 others that I would like to introduce right now if I could. But it's the love of God that we all experienced. And I think the key verse in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 is, and as we read together, if you don't mind opening up your Bible. "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." Initially, what that verse sounds like is that God is upset, or Jesus is upset with the church at Ephesus because they're not loving God passionate enough. So, in other words, what is being rebuked is their love for God. But as I have shared this morning, to go into detail about why that interpretation is not correct here, because it goes against the gospel itself. Because it is not our love or our ability to love that makes a difference in our world, but it's God's love experienced and shown through our own lives that makes a difference in this world. What is true about this passage is what is lost is not their love for Christ, but what is lost is God's love that they have experienced previously, but they have since disregarded. And I think that's what we have experienced. If you look at Apostle John, the beloved disciples of Jesus Christ, he tells us in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. What that means is that God doesn't love us because we love him. We didn't start this. But rather we love him because God loved us first. Agape love is of God and not of us. This means our love for God and others is a response to his love for us. So our first love is understanding and experiencing his love for us. Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 is very instructive on this point. Paul prays that the congregation at Ephesus would be rooted and grounded in God's love through Jesus Christ, and that they will continue to grow in love that surpasses knowledge, so that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's emphasis was not that they would love God more, but that they would know more of God's love for them. That is the difference, and that is the important part of this passage. So I'm going to skip to my own testimony. So when we left, we were 12 strangers. As I've gotten to know later, that although some of our members knew each other, they really didn't know each other. For many of us, we were strangers, attending the same church for literally our lifetime, but never even talked to each other once. Through our preparation meeting, we started to create some sort of relationship, but I knew the real challenge would be once we arrived in Thailand, as Rebecca had said. I think the most amazing experience of our trip together was how each one of us, from all different age groups and life situations and personalities, became united to almost reflect a family. So see, the Kenneth was, can you show the photo of our team there, if you don't mind? I think it's at 17, PowerPoint 17. That's how much I skipped this morning. So here's Kenneth, right there, the guy. He was our father. He would be always calm and collected. But we caught every moment of his yawning on film. Rebecca was our mother, who always expressed concerns. And this is a true story, folks, about whether we were spending too much money. And then we had Kylie and Trisha as older sisters, playing the role of an older sister, always encouraging younger ones, but be firm when it was necessary. Jensen was an older brother. He was making sure that all the siblings are doing well, going between mommy and daddy and then to the kids. And he was doing all the dirty work. Kyle, who spoke, was kind of quiet because of his nature, but he was always engaged in learning. And the strangest thing about Kyle was he really loved taking photos of Kenneth yawning. And he would always look at it and laugh, even when we were just having meetings and stuff like that. So, and then Hans was just, I don't know the word that I to describe. He was just everywhere. And you know, this girl, Tiffany, I don't know if you know her, but she loved to dance. Like, she would find every opportunity to dance for everything. And then, as you heard, Clara came out of the shell. You know, just not a fake one, but a real shell. And then our youngest, or maybe not the youngest, but Aaron required some time to come around to get used to people as a family, because for him, trust was a big thing. But eventually, he did come around. And my son, Cindio, had a time of his life because he found acceptance everywhere, which is rare in our family. And then finally, I was the kind of older brother who kind of stays with his mom and dad for long, forever, never leaves the house. I wasn't really a father, but I was kind of someone who was needed, but no one can explain why I'm needed. But there was this one time during worship when we were having this worship service with all the church members from different churches, you know. I mean, it was just an environment where we were sensing that everybody was experiencing God's love. It was free, people worshiping with their hands raised, some were praying. And then I saw Jensen. I don't know if you recall, but this was a young man who was baptized for this mission trip. in August. And when I turned around and looked at him, he was in a state of absolute grief. I mean, just crying uncontrollably. I was happy for him. And I think all of us who saw him were. We weren't questioning why you were crying. What's wrong with you? What's the problem? But we kind of knew, all of us, without even saying, that it was just God working through him in his spirit and just working in him, cleansing him, healing him. And then soon afterwards, a worship leader asked a question. If there was anyone who has a sense of calling to serve God, would you stand? And then as soon as he finished the word, you know who stood up without thinking? Cindy, my son. He was my son. Now he's not, because he's God's servant. Because what he didn't know is that God takes these things very, very seriously. I know. I had personal experience. But as soon as I saw him stand, I was like, you know, what are you doing, son? This is our theme. Like, everybody made fun of this throughout the time, because I say this quite a bit. What are you doing, son? Do you see anyone else standing except Jensen? Yeah. After we returned from the trip, my wife commented to me a week later and said, Cindy has changed. So I asked, how do you think he changed? And she said, he seems calm now. During our trip, when we were personally sharing about our experience in Thailand, Cindy mentioned how he was always restless, longing for acceptance from his friends and even us, his mom and dad. I was very grateful that God has brought healing to his soul. Everything I mentioned and everything that you heard this morning relates to and confirms in real life the love of God and how that can impact people and change people. Paul has said that God's love surpasses all understanding. And as a group of 12, we all may had a very expectation or very different expectation before we left for our trip in Thailand. You know, many of us, as you heard, were concerned about how we were able to do our part, how we can potentially help the group, or perhaps how many people we're going to bring to Jesus Christ. My expectation was only one thing, that all of the team members would adequately experience God's love. You know, as Westerners, we typically think when we go into these nations, we're going to bring all these things, all this knowledge and all these gifts and all these things to you. But having been there for so many years, and although it has been almost 5 years since I was there, I knew that Thailand people has something to give us, something that I believe will change our lives, and something that we really needed for our church. And you might say, but we sponsored you so that you could serve. Of course, we're going to Thailand to serve. But here's the way the kingdom economy works. And this is what Jesus taught us. He said, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is a kingdom economy. It is when we give. And this is not simply about money. It's about my heart. It's about my soul. It's about offering whatever I can, like the rich, poor widow who gave 2 pennies. And you also know the famous verse that says, seek you first the kingdom of God, and everything shall be given unto you. I think the highlight moment of my trip was, I was behind the video. By the way, I had recorded a lot of films, but it's useless because I cannot transfer that information to a computer, because apparently my camcorder is outdated by 15 years. So, there was this one moment when I was filming everybody that was teaching children. And I think for some reason or another, my camcorder was focused on Clara. And I think you might have heard what she said about who she was and how she was just herself and she didn't care about anyone. Or I don't know if that's what you said. Sorry if I'm misguiding you. But when I zoomed into her face and as she was teaching the kids, there was this sense of love. And the reality of God's love completely in her face in that moment where she was open to just giving herself away to the kids, to try to know them as much as she could, to try to engage with them, to interact with them. And that's not something that I knew she was. And that was the real moment when I had this epiphany of God's presence in us, in all of us. I want to finish this morning sharing by offering some means to experience God's love, which I believe our team was privy to during this trip that you have sent us. Here are some of the things I believe all of the participants had offered that I believe had opened the channel of God's love. Now, as I share this, I don't want you to misunderstand. I am not trying to elevate these people and say, well, it's their faith or whatever that we have done. It's not. It's absolutely untrue. It was purely God's grace and God's love that enabled us to do whatever we did, and it enabled us to experience whatever we had experienced. What I'm trying to offer you to finish this up is a practical consideration that might help us to open the heart for those of us who wants to be recipients of God's love. Number one, obedient heart. Many of us responded to God's call. It was a personal call for many of them. But for me, you can also respond to God's command, which says, make disciples of all nations. That is enough, because that's God's word. You want to obey. You want to follow. You follow. But the opposing tendency is always to put our kingdom first. We don't take risks because we can't afford to be uncomfortable. We don't want to lose control. And that is the reason why sometimes we're not obeying God. Second reason is a sacrificial heart. It's the idea of willingness to offer our time and our effort and our resources, whatever it takes. You know, when you look at the Old Testament, whenever there's a worship, whoever wanted to worship God, they always needed to bring a sacrifice with them. Do you know that according to the New Testament, there is no such thing as a sacrifice unless it costs you something? It always costs. Otherwise, the sacrifice cannot be given. And in order to truly worship God, sacrifice is always required. Third point is a trusting heart. You know, in our team, as you have heard, we questioned our own ability and capacity. And so what happens there is that we are compelled to rely on God, a trusting heart. Clear heart is more of a result rather than an ingredient, but we have heard through numerous people's lives and their testimony, we discovered the simplicity of living for Jesus Christ. And we also discovered the power of the gospel at work, which we tend to look down upon sometimes. And finally, I want to kind of talk about going back to the scripture where Jesus gives his instruction to the Ephesians and he tells them, do the things that you did at first. And the idea is that, well, if you trace the story, the history of the church from the very beginning in the book of Acts, you'll see from the very beginning that they all begin with people gathering in anticipation of God's promise to pour his spirit. So they gather together in the upper room in constant prayer. A few chapters later, after thousands have come to Jesus Christ, once again, church is under crisis. John and Peter had been captured and they were forced to not speak about Jesus anymore. But they go back to their community. And then when they went back, instead of talking about strategies, instead of talking about how do we avoid this persecution, Bible says that they all worshiped and prayed together. And this is what happened. After they had prayed, their meeting place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. It was a result of them gathering together and worshiping and praying together that God's Spirit came upon them and that they were able to experience God's love. You will never see in the Bible an occasion where someone is just casually doing their own business or walking about that they will actually receive the Spirit of God. It was always in the context of worship and prayer. And so we have experienced, as we have discussed already, that our worship was always focused and our prayer was always focused on God's kingdom because we really felt a deep need of His help for us. After the mission trip, some of the guys had asked me, how do we continue to live in this place where we are sensing God's love, experiencing God's love? And so my solution was, then let's serve together. Let's serve together. We already have an advantage because we already know each other and we already know how to work with one another. And so a place where we need most help at this moment, as far as I can see, is a place in high school and college. And as you have seen before, when they were introduced, majority of them are now in high school ministry. And I know we always have our critics. You know, they were up on the high. But this is a constant, long, enduring kind of ministry. And you know what? When we first began this idea, none of us realized this was going to happen. It's God. It's always God. He starts and He completes. And so I trust that. And I wanted to encourage them to do it. And so they signed up. Now what we need from you is for you to help us, to pray for us. Send your kids. You know, last week we had 27 people in Cairo's meeting. There was a time when we were 6 or 7. I know a lot of young kids joined, like some 7th graders. I don't know why they joined, but they joined. And then we had some 8th graders. And then we had some 9th. But we're still trying to encourage the parents to, you know, help us to minister to your kids, because what we want to do is we want to share that same love that we have shared with the kids in Thailand. We want to see how that goes, and we want to see whether or not that can transform our kids' lives. That's what we're in it for. So you can help us in that regard. Thank you so much for supporting us and sending us. This made a lot of difference for many of us. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to do this again and again and again in the future. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your love, your amazing love, your unconditional love, your reckless love that comes to us even though we're never, ever worthy to receive your love. And as we experience your love, you change us from inside out. As we've heard from, there are so many testimonies from people in Thailand, your love really changes us. And I believe that your love has changed all of us who had gone as well. And we want to share that love with the people here in our church so that it can become sort of a contagious thing where everybody's experiencing God's love. Because a church without God's love is a lampstand without the fire. It does not have any purpose. And so I pray that you will bless our church, Lord. May this be a first step toward a greater place of intimacy with you and a greater place of intimacy with one another. We love you, God, with all our hearts, because you first loved us. Receive this praise as an offering of our sacrifice. Let's all stand. Let's worship the Lord together.
You choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal a brokenness inside and give us love. The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. You take the faithless one aside and speak the words. You are mine. You call the cynic and the proud. Come to me now. The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opens eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. Oh.
Seated.